What's up, you guys? It's your girl, Maisha Chanel, and welcome to the Adversity Hour podcast.
I get nervous too when I start, so don't worry. Oh, actually, let me turn on my TV because last time Netflix wanted to just do that. I'm like, since when to do that? All right. Can I get started? What's up, you guys? Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of Adversity Hour podcast. So we are starting off this Black History Month with the Black perspective. Today, we're going to be talking about what it's like to be Black in corporate America, because I have some stories to share and a good amount of experiences in that realm. But I'm not by myself today. I'm here with my best gal, Patrice. Hey, girl.
Hello there. And hi, everyone.
She'll be here also commenting and like sharing her experiences, because unfortunately we both have stories, and I'm just super excited to kind of like have this conversation with you and just talk about what we go through and just expose that to people, because I don't think a lot of people know like the impact of what it's like to just be a Black woman in corporate America and the stress that comes along with it sometimes. So before we get into the conversation, I'll let you introduce yourself, Patrice. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about you?
Yes. Well, hello, everyone. And, you know, let me just start by saying thank you for having me on today. I'm so proud of you, and I am honored to be one of your guests. So, hi, everyone. My name is Patrice. I've known Maisha for numerous years now. I can't even count. But we actually both used to work at the same company together, and we were both working at the same corporation for almost, I think Maisha was like 5 years already, and I'm about to hit my 5 years coming this summer. So I've been in corporate America for a little bit of time now. And as Maisha alluded to earlier, I've had some experiences that might not have been as great compared to others. But yeah, that's just a little bit about me, and happy to be here.
Well, thank you. And that was a great introduction. Okay, coming correct. I see you. Okay. So let's get into this conversation. Mm-hmm. My first question to you, if you could have one word to describe your experience in corporate America as a Black African-American woman, what word would that be and why? I know it's kind of a loaded question.
It is. And I would, if I had to pick a word, it would really just be confusion. I just feel like I would always move with confusion on how should I carry myself a certain way compared to others? Can I wear this? Can I do my hair a certain way? I was always confused on how I would be portrayed compared to others. And I just wouldn't, and not even just, you know, not even white people, but even people within the community, I would be confused on how I would be portrayed. So
you are touching everything. Confusion. Honestly, like, we are going to touch on everything you just mentioned today. that is in the syllabus, but my word is kind of similar. I was going to use chaos, just because I feel like it could be chaotic showing up and like your external experiences. But then like what we deal with internally too, like that internal battle of like just knowing, starting off so behind in the race, and it's nothing, it's not our fault. It's nothing that we can do about it, unfortunately. We can get the best Brazilian lace front wig and we're still behind. Like there's nothing that we can really do. It's just the cards we were dealt with, and that's a hard thing to face once you recognize it. So that kind of makes me think about like my first experience where I realized the impacts of being Black in corporate. Do you remember the first time you recognized that your race and background contributed to your experience in a negative way?
Let me think back.
Why do you think I can talk on mine a little bit if you want?
Okay, go right ahead. Yep.
So for the listeners, I know we got some nosy ones out there. When we are sharing our experiences, they don't always relate to, you know, the corporate environment that we are in today. So don't go digging deep, all right? So this is some years ago. I was working at a company, and I had just started to kind of come out of my shell a little bit and be more in tune with like my culture as a Black woman, exposing myself to different natural hairstyles and trying different things like braids and Senegalese twists and things like that. So I remember my first time I showed up at braids, and this company, I would say, it was pretty diverse for its time, but the team I was working on was not. I'm talking translucent, like I was the only one. And you know, just the simple things like, oh wow, your hair grew over the weekend, or like, where did that come from? How did that happen? Just like very uncomfortable, because I don't know how most people was raised, but my mama certainly didn't raise me to be up in people's business like that. So for me, that was like my first uncomfortable experience where it was just like, yo, are they genuinely asking? Because I feel like we live in a world where they should know, but maybe they're not exposed to it. But is it my place to then explain it to them? It was just very uncomfortable and very awkward. And that was like the first time I had to recognize like what some of the situations I might experience, like as being a Black woman, like what that might look like and how that might make me feel. So that was like when I first started like paying attention a little bit, like, okay, like they don't know what braids are, but I know like they see Black people outside of this office. So it's just like knowing when to explain versus when an explanation isn't needed. Because other people are certainly not explaining things to me, like, right, why is your cat on your counter when you cook? Like, you know what I'm saying? What about you? Do you remember?
Yeah, now you opened up the floodgates for memories. And I was trying to, because now everything's coming back, and I was trying to think of the very first time, because I had a couple hair instances where it's like, whew, the same question of, your hair really grew. Yeah, in a day. Okay. But I would say my very first experience was at a totally different company. And it was actually quite interesting, because at first I was maybe the only Black female there. And then it was a little lonely for me. And then after a while, a few others were hired. And normally I would always keep to myself. This was before they were there. Most of the people there were way older than me, so we didn't really have much in common. Mm-hmm. And this time, finally, some other women were hired. They happened to be Black, and they happened to be around my age. And we were having lunch. And of course, there were jokes being thrown around, laughing and whatnot. Now I go back to my desk, and my manager pulls me to the side, and she's like, oh, you know, I'm surprised that you were so loud with the other girls. You don't usually strike me as one to fit in with them.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, that was surprising, because, you know, she's insinuating that, of course, they're going to be loud, but why am I a part of that? Because I haven't always been like that. Mm. And that one cut deep, because, you know, throughout high school, elementary school, you know, I always had to battle with the like, oh, you're not Black enough, or you're not this enough. And first of all, I don't want to hear that from my own people, but now we got some little 60-year-old white lady checking me on that. So
yeah, that's different. That is different.
Yeah. And for her to say, basically assume that all people of color just happen to be loud, and then so insult my group, but also say I don't really fit in with them because I'm not loud, and it's shocking that I'm a little louder that one day. Right. It just, I didn't even know how to react to that. I was just stuck when she brought that up to me.
It was the them for me too. Like just the way that people phrase things. It's just really, it's just unfortunate. I used to think, I guess I used to have like this like naive, gullible, I don't know, you don't know until you're kind of exposed to it, that like, you know, all of us women are experiencing the same thing, but it's like a total different battle when you like talk about women of color. And I feel like it affects the way that we have to like show up. So like, I think about the concept of code switching. Are you familiar with code switching?
Yep.
Do you find that that's something that you do?
That's a really good question, because I always used to think about that. I feel like certain situations, yes, but then I kind of want to say no, because I do stay true to myself. But, you know, obviously you're trying to get some customer service, you might put on a voice or two. But I would say when it's time to, I think I've definitely partaken in a little code switching here and there. But for the most part, I try to stay true to myself.
Before I respond to that, selfishly, I should have explained for our listeners, just in case there are some people who don't know what code switching is. So code switching is basically like when you are a member of like an underrepresented group, someone that's like not in the majority, you might unconsciously adjust like the way you navigate the environment that you're in. So it could be like you change your words, the way you talk, the tone of your voice, your vibe. You might even like change the name you go by just because you want to fit into the dominant culture. So that's what code switching is. So sorry, I should have mentioned that ahead of time. But back to you, Patrice. I feel like I definitely code switch. I agree with you when you say like it depends on like time and place. But I think in the very beginning in my experience in corporate, I was code switching 24/7. I mean, not 24/7, the 40 hours a week I was working, I was code switching. And I did not realize how exhausting that was for me until like maybe I had like my working experience reach like maybe, and I was like, girl, like you don't talk like that, like you don't, why are you trying to like keep up with, I remember one job I fell into like this group of girls, phenomenal, beautiful girls, very intelligent, I love them, but we don't share, like, we didn't have a lot of similarities. We're not from the same community. The only thing that really brought us together was work, really. And the fact that we all like to drink. So we did happy hours. And I found myself trying to go shopping with one of these girls. And at that time, I was like a rainbow in JCPenney girl, all right? I didn't have it like that. But the way that I was like trying to fit in so much and pretend that I was shopping at White House, Black Market, and all these places I never stepped foot in at that time. It was just like, it was so exhausting, just really just trying to fit in with the majority with the hope that like I could alter my experience. And it's like, no matter what you do, no matter if I like racked up my credit cards on those different stores and I dressed like them and like I talk like them, the fact of the matter is at the end of the day, my skin is still brown. My hair is still coarse and thick and popping. So it's just like, I'm always going to have a different experience no matter what. I just thought like, I don't remember code switching always being a concept, but when that word came out and became so trendy, I think I didn't want to admit that I did that. But I used to do it hardcore, if I'm being honest with myself and you guys today. Code switching was my first language. Like, y'all don't want to hear my customer service voice. <It's> too good. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think code switching is, like, something that non-people of color could do? Or is that specific to minorities?
I think, so are you saying, like, that the act of doing? Because I feel like people that are not of color, I think they do it for sure. Now, are they allowed to do it? I don't know. Is that what you're asking?
Sorta. You kind of answered it. I really wanted to know because I know some people think like code switching is just like a concept for Black or people of color, because we're often like that underrepresented group. But I think it also depends on the environment. So like, let's say I'm at a HBCU, I go to school, and one of my best friends from my town, white boy named Carl, comes through. He might code switch because now he's in the minority. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted your opinion on that, because I feel like that's a perspective that some people have. And I do feel like it could work both ways. I think it just depends on the environment, because we all want to fit in.
Exactly.
Do to fit in.
Thanks to society. That's ingrained in us that we always gotta fit in, be one, when some diversity is helpful.
What do you think are like some of the downsides to code switching though? Because I'm sure there's negative outcomes. Like I know for me, I talked about like the exhaustion that came with it because trying to keep up with being someone that you're not, like that's just exhausting. But do you have
Right.
any like thoughts on negative outcomes?
I would say definitely the exhaustion, but then it's really that mental burden of feeling like you're just losing yourself, you know, because then it's a matter of, wait, do I even like this stuff that I'm pretending to like? Like you have now created a whole new persona that has just taken over, and then you start to wonder, like, who am I really? You know, it's like you lost, not you personally, but I'm just
No.
saying, like, you know, we lost our identity because we're code switching for so long, and it's such a natural thing too. We feel like we have to do it in these situations that I'll use 40 hours a week, for example. That's a long time, you know? So it's like we're just, it becomes so natural to the point of where those differences that made us so unique and beautiful, it's just gone and we've lost ourselves. So I think that's like one of the biggest negatives is just losing your whole identity.
Right now, because and like, yeah, what you're saying, it just resonates with me so well. Because it's just like, imagine like all of us in our community doing that. It's not even just our identities as individuals, but like our identity as a community that we're diminishing. Because now we're trying to like increase this perception that we share these same similarities with these other members or coworkers, and we think that it's gonna like maybe raise the chance of our promotion or raise, you know, our networking group or whatever. But in the same breath, we're just like eliminating like the reality of the Black community or like, you know, so now they don't really know who we are because we're showing up and we're pretending to be someone that we're not. So
And our
I
culture
love
is
that.
lost.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you were able to call that out because that's something that I didn't recognize until I was kind of like doing research for this episode. And I was like, wow, it's kind of like a catch 22. Like, even though we might be thinking that it's like benefiting us, and maybe it is in the short term, in the long term, like, I feel like its impact is far worse.
And then like to that too, like with promotions and things like that, I just feel like we're always giving in to that we're not good enough as we are because you had to switch up as somebody else. So it's like that's gonna hit self-esteem after a while. It's just the mental, you
Yeah, you are a preacher, girl. Yes.
know?
Let me ask you this question because one thing that I was thinking too while I was reading some articles the other day on this was just like, I feel like sometimes, especially in this new day and age, you know, we're constantly adding words to the dictionary. And you kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. So I'm hoping that this question doesn't come off offensive to you or any of the listeners. But do you think code switching is just a fancy word for acting white? And I have quotation marks, but I know you can't see me.
Honestly, in the way how like when code switching is brought up in conversation and how it is for the most part, I would say so. Because I know we kind of talked about, okay, maybe a white person might code switch if now they're the minority in the group, but you don't really always hear it in that context. It's not as popular, even though it happens. So I would say like the popular definition of it, I would definitely say so. Because when's the last time you heard a black person talking about, oh, I'm code switching, but they acting as, you know, typical stereotype black, you know? So I would definitely have to agree that, yeah. And I just think that it goes back to that belief with the white race being the dominant race and whatnot, and how we have to adhere to them, right? Not saying that we need to, I'm just saying that's the stereotype, the belief, racism, all of that. But I think it is a fancy way or a nice way of saying act white so you can move up in life, so you can have better things, which is terrible.
It's so unfortunate because there are some people who like consciously code switch because they don't want to, like, I know this was something that weighed on me, which shouldn't be so heavy on our shoulders, but I didn't want to confirm stereotypes. So there are instances where I should have cussed somebody out. Like, I was in my means to do so, but I didn't want to come off as, like, this angry, black woman. Mm. Yeah. So it's, like, so damaging because it's, like, we're, like, accepting, we're accepting the reality that, like, I feel like in a way we're kind of, like, allowing those stereotypes to exist because rather than, like, that they're not true, where I'm trying to, what's the best way for me to explain? Rather than, like, doing the work to eliminate the stereotypes, instead we're feeding into keeping those stereotypes, like, oh, I'm struggling. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I get what you're trying to say. And it's like, when we're not calling out the problem, it's because we're so nervous that, oh, we're going to be the angry black woman. The thing is, that's still a problem. Because now,
thank you,
in the defense of the other person, they don't know that it's wrong because we didn't say, hey, this is wrong. Just because we're so afraid that we're going to be looked at as angry. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I got caught up there because this is something I feel so passionate about. And you know it because, like you said in your intro, like when you first came to, when we first started working at the same company, yo, I wanted to protect you from all of that. And I couldn't.
Ooh, I know remember. I couldn't.
But I was like, in our place to work at that time, I was like the first woman of color for a while. So I was so happy to see another sis, another person with their edges laid. That was nice. But then I also was like, oh no, she's not about to go through what I went through. It's not about to go down that way. And unfortunately, I couldn't shield her from everything because, yeah, we have some experiences. Which we can open up about a little bit. But no, I definitely feel like the whole like concept of like acting white, it's so kind of like where you were starting off earlier, like, I hate that. I hate, like, when people are like, oh, you're talking white, oh, you're acting white. Like, I don't know who came up with that. I have friends that, like, yourself included, that have gone through that. Nobody ever told me to act white. I don't know if that's something that I should be, I don't know if I should be insulted or not. But I just feel like that shouldn't be a thing. Like, you know, like, everyone should just show up and be themselves. I think there's a way to be professional, but that doesn't equate to being white. I think there's a way to be
exactly
classy or well-spoken, but that doesn't mean that, like, there's no connection. So I just, that's, like, something that I really hate. And sometimes I think, yeah, like, code-switching is just, like, a fancy way for people to, like, you know, use the excuse of, like, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to code-switch and act like a Samantha real quick. And it's like, no, just be yourself. Like, just because you've made it a fancy word doesn't mean that that makes it a better thing now. Like, it's still something that we probably should try to do less of.
Now I'm clapping on my end for you because that, oh, that has been one of my biggest struggles so much because I hate when it comes from our community saying what you just said, like, oh, why are you talking white or anything like that, because it's almost like you're saying, like, because I speak like I have an education, that means I'm talking white. Like, why are you putting down your own race at that point?
Right.
You know, we shouldn't be giving in to those stereotypes.
Exactly. And then on the flip side too, like, you should want to sound educated as well. So what are you even getting at this point? Like, joke's on you, my friend. So if we're talking about code switching and how you and I both want to do less of it, how do we navigate a predominantly white space or corporate America without it? Like, how would you, like, go about it if you had tips to share?
I think it would really come down to just continuing to show up as our authentic selves every day. Because if we don't expose, you know, others to what it really means to be a Black woman, which obviously it's different, but really the way how I behave is the same as how Becky is behaving, and it's all a level of professionalism. So I shouldn't be called out if I have a problem with someone not providing their email on time or whatever it may be, and Becky has the same problem, but yet she's judged differently. You know, it really shouldn't be like that. So I just think the more that we are authentic with ourselves and actually show up with our hair how we want it to be, because technically all these companies are boasting, oh, come as you are, this and that. If they call you out based off your hair, now that's an HR problem. They might get sued. So the ball is in our court. Show up as your authentic self so people can learn that, you know, I'm not that much different from someone else, and you don't have to treat me a certain way. I'm still just another peer.
I agree. I think in terms of like navigating corporate America, like, girl, get the braids. Get the braids. Like, wear the wig. Wear your natural hair. Like, I know some places don't allow scarves and things like that. It's always like super touchy because like sometimes it's like based in religion and other times it's not. So it's definitely like sometimes HR gets in and that makes it weird, but you have to be able to be authentically you. Like that's just the healthiest way to go about it. Like, you are at work more than you're with your family sometimes. So why not be able to show up like as you, you know what I mean? So I think that for me, that was like my first kind of challenge. So when I worked at that other company that we talked about, and I had that like awkward interaction, I didn't really understand what it was. I remember going home on Facebook. This is when Facebook was all the rage. And I was just like, I posted a picture of me in my cute little outfit, my striped yellow and navy shirt. It was a vibe. And I have my little braids and my little fake glasses because 2020 over here. But I like posted it, and I was just like, yeah, like sometimes I have a hard time like wondering like what's okay and what's not okay. But I love these braids. They're protective style. And I found myself kind of explaining myself to like the people that I'm friends with on Facebook because of that experience. And I had so much positive feedback, and like from some people at that job too, diverse groups of people like reaching out to me, like, your hair is amazing. Like, you know, like, did somebody say something? You know, like, I realized that it wasn't just like happening to me, that this is like a worldwide issue, and that one of the things that I could do to help make it better is to continue to show up as myself. So then that's when I started getting into my little synthetic wigs, because I didn't have the money like that for the union. But that's when I started to really switch it up, and I was really embracing the versatility in my hair and like the things that I can do with it. And you know, I just was able to embrace it and acknowledge the beauty in that, the beauty in the change, and you know, the fun things that we can do with our hair. So I think that's one way to definitely show up, is just like, be yourself. If you want to wear a wig on Monday and then tomorrow, the next day, you're wearing a bob or whatever, do it. Like, they'll have to keep up, because there are things that they don't have to explain to us that we keep up with, and we just understand.
Exactly.
And we don't speak about it, but we're just expected to understand it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly, you hit it. That's exactly it. Like, no need for us to explain, just show up as we are, and that's that. Another thing I would say too is, you know, if you do work somewhere where there is like actually a community of people with color, you're very lucky. But don't get into the habit of where, okay, now that you found your tribe, definitely have that, but don't now exclude all the other races. Open it up to everyone, just so that they have that exposure, right? And they can understand that, oh, these stereotypes are wrong, because I hang out with, you know, Maisha and Patrice, and they don't live up to X, Y, and Z, or they're just normal girls. Who cares about this, you know? So it's just, let's be inclusive when we are putting together a community. So that way, because if I'm just going to use a white person, right? if, and I'm gonna keep using Becky, if Becky has never had any exposure to us, she has nothing else to go off of.
Right. That is so valid. So I know one thing I noticed as I changed jobs is, yo, we Black people, we like to travel in groups. Like we like to gang up, like squad everything. Like that's just how we are. Like once we connect, we make sure that the people that we care about in our community are also connected. So we just expand. And I love that. It's a beautiful thing. But to your point, like it's important to also continue to move as an individual. I had a recent experience where I went to happy hour, and I'm so happy to be working at a company where it's very diverse, but we all kind of like traveled and migrated together as one. And it was like, there's more happy hour. And because of the way that we're traveling, because of the way we're interacting with each other, it's not often welcoming to other non-POCs. So I think it's important to diversify. Like you can gang, like that's 100% fine. But like you said, also allow there to be room for you to like build a platform and expose some of yourself, like in your natural state, like to other people, so they could really get a sense of who you are and like the community that you represent. I'm not saying that we're spokespeople for our entire community, but like you said, if the exposure is not there, they won't know. So we don't want to gatekeep everything. Some things we want to gatekeep, but not everything. Not everything.
Exactly.
So I definitely feel like that's something that we have the power to influence and change. And I am so happy you brought that up because I was so confused why people were confused that I wanted to like navigate room and talk to other people and not just stick in the back of the corner and just talk to them. So it's definitely interesting.
And look at
One
that. Now you're leading the path for that group that was confused of your actions. Proud of
maybe. Thank you.
you.
excuse me. So we talked a little bit about like code switching, how we want to show up in our day-to-day. So let's say the reality of the situation is, all right, we know what code switching is. We know that we don't want to do it. We showing up as ourselves at work. I'm not saying we pulling up in a bonnet, but we are showing up as ourselves, okay? But then you have your Pam throwing a little microaggression at you. How do you handle microaggressions?
Oh, that is a fun one.
And for those who
I'm
are
still,
listening
oh, go
and
ahead.
don't know, microaggression is just kind of like a subtle, like indirect kind of statement or action that's discriminatory against, like it's like discriminating against a certain group of people, usually racial driven. Sorry, continue, Patrice.
Right. When it comes to that stuff, I really just like to kill them with kindness.
Okay.
Of course, sprinkled with a little bit of shade because it is me. But yeah, like if I get hit with a microaggression, I'm not gonna go off. I'm not gonna go crazy. Well, really, just because I haven't been attacked in a way that's really disrespectful. But instead, I would try to kill you with kindness or simply just hit you with the, what do you mean by that? Throw the question back because most of the time they can't explain, they don't want to. Now they're the ones feeling a little uncomfortable and recognizing that they might have done something wrong or said something wrong. You know what I
I
mean?
love it. Yeah, put the ball in their court. Okay, get them rosy
Exactly.
cheeks. All right. No, I like
Exactly.
that.
So that's why I say with the low smile, the killing with kindness, what do you mean by that? Help me understand. All of those little questions here and there, food for thought.
Yeah, man. Like, I know for me personally, one thing I'm working on is my voice. I know a lot of people walk over me and I was in denial about it for some years, but now I know what the game is that we're playing, and I'm learning to use that. But I wish I had it sooner because the amount of times, like, can I touch your hair? Or, Oh, you know your dad? Oh, your brother has the same dad? Oh, you're so articulate. Like, those verbal microaggressions, I've heard more than once. I'll never forget, like, the time a woman actually pulled my braid because she thought it's not yours, you couldn't feel it. So it's like things like that we shouldn't like be experiencing, like that. It just doesn't sound real to an extent. Like, it's just like, did that really happen? Did I dream that? Is that in a movie, in a script somewhere?
Exactly.
It happens so often to us that non-women of color don't even have to think about.
Exactly. Know?
So for me, in those instances, I never knew how to respond. Like, with the situation with the woman pulling my hair, I literally walked up, got emotional, and then went to my manager about it. And he got HR involved. But, like, I think for young women of color who are new in corporate and might be similar to me, soft-spoken, not really sure how to stick up for themselves, handling microaggressions could be tough, because it's like,
it's definitely a tough one. Even in the like my earlier days outside of corporate, I still dealt with that just in like my, you know, my regular little retail job and things like that. I would hear it all the time. It's the same stuff as you. Can I touch your hair? When somebody else gets a haircut or something, no one really cares. They just say, oh, your hair is cute, but when I do my hair, it's a, oh, is it real? I remember in high school, actually, I was getting picked up from this program that I was in, and my mom rolled up. And at that time, the car that she had was like whatever the newest Camry was or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And the lady that was in charge of the program, she was, because they were waiting for everyone to be picked up to make sure we made it home safely. She's like, wait, that's your car? That's your family picking you up? How do you guys have that?
Wow.
And yeah, and you know, being in high school, I didn't know how to respond to that at all. I was just a kid. I was just like, yeah, that's my mom's car. She works. That's literally all I said.
Yeah.
And it's hard to navigate. It really is. Even as a grown woman, sometimes I struggle.
Yeah, because you struggle with the fact that someone really had the audacity to say that to your face. And then you struggle with how to handle it because you don't want to lose your job.
Exactly.
So there's so many things that we struggle with, because it's like, yo, by you saying this, like, you just gave me the right to slap you in your face. But I won't do it because I got bills to pay. Like, you know, Biden ain't helping me out with these loans, so I'm not going to slap you today. And then
see, the professional side, that's when we got to ask the questions, just to exactly. keep it cute.
Exactly. But outside of the verbal microaggressions, there's behavioral microaggressions too. And I feel like these aren't as common, but it definitely still happens. Like, so an example of this could be like when a non-Black person or person of color is like trying to speak or give off like they are a person of color. So, you know, we have our slang. Like, we'd be like, yes, sis, or like, go off, or like, period. I'm not saying we have a monopoly on those words, but a lot of those words and phrases did come out of our culture, and they did become popular, and, you know, they manifested out of Black art from Black people. So sometimes you might be in a conversation and someone's like, yes, sis, like, go off, period. And that's not how they talk on the regular.
Right.
But when they talk to you, they feel like they have to do that. That's an example of a behavioral microaggression. Now, I don't really I haven't really had that many experiences with other. I think probably the worst behavioral microexpression that I probably could say I could experience is I had someone mispronounce my name, even though I corrected them multiple times. It was giving, this is how I want to pronounce your name. And I felt like that was kind of like giving microaggression, because it's like, can you respect me and pronounce my name correctly? Like, you're saying it the way you want to say it, and that's not my name. So now I'm not going to respond to you when you don't say my name right. It's just creating like an uncomfortable environment, and it's not necessary. And I work with you and I know that you talk to other people and you say like, how do you say your name? I want to make sure you pronounce it right, but you're not giving me that same energy. So it's like unfortunate that we have to pay attention to things to a certain extent to determine whether it's genuine or unintentional. But that's like the life in corporate, and it's 2023. It's so crazy to me that like this is still a problem. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that it's even like that. And that paying attention thing, oh, I love that you touched on that. I was actually just having a conversation about that with my fiance the other day. And I was telling him how as a Black woman or being a person of color, it gets a little exhausting because that is one of the things if you are, for by the way, for everyone listening, I am in a interracial relationship. So one thing that I had to explain to him is that when I am around his family and things like that, I do have to pay way more attention compared to if I'm just with other people, because now I have to listen for any microaggressions, whether it was purposeful or not. Yeah. So that's a topic for another show, but listen, that just really
I will let you know when I'm ready, girl, because yes. That is definitely something we gotta talk about.
But that is very exhausting that the pressure is always there to listen. And it sucks that you had to go through that. One of the behavioral microaggressions I had once was where I was walking and this woman saw me while I was walking on the street, right? This woman saw me walking, and as soon as she spotted me, she locked her doors.
Oh, no. That happened to me recently after, actually, outside of work.
Really?
That's the worst feeling, because it's like, girl, I don't want any of your stuff.
Right. My jacket definitely cost more than her car, so I don't know what she was worried about.
Period. On the subway, so I'm still learning and navigating the city, but they have in the stations, they have like escalators. I don't know why I'm struggling to speak today. They have escalators and the unspoken rule is you could stand on the escalator, but you have to stand on the right side. And if you want to walk up the escalator, you have to walk on the left side. Like that's just like what they do. And if you don't do it that way, you'll learn that that's how you should do it some way. And, you know, sometimes like the escalator's free. So people are just walking and doing whatever they want. And that just happened to be the case. We were all walking down and this woman was kind of walking slow. So I was kind of up on her and I peeped, I was on her. So I backed up and then she decided to just stop right in front of me. She's like, I'm not walking anymore. Cause I think she felt like I was trying to like, do something, but I'm like, no, I just got my New York legs on. I'm just trying to hurry up and catch this next train. Like, nobody's worried about you. Right. So it was just interesting, like, seeing her, like, clutch her bag, stop, and let me walk by, like, sis, nobody worried about you. It's just so interesting, and I would love to do, like, a, like, you know, those shows where they have, like, hidden cameras. Like, I would love to see, like, how many of these instances are racially driven, because I'm sure good 80% probably are. Like, not every, I'm not trying to say like people are racist and stuff like that, but like we do get treated differently because of our background, unfortunately, and the stereotypes associated with it and the things that people want to believe about us and the people in our community. So I would love to see like that situation that you just described with you walking by her car and she locking her door, like if someone else walked by at the same time and it wasn't you, like what would her behavior be? Would it be the same thing? Probably not. But I just would love to do like an experiment like that. Like I gotta figure out how I could do that on my own.
And I would love to watch.
Man, yeah, microaggressions it's not a fun thing. It's not a fun thing at all. Definitely something that HR is aware of too. So if you ever feel like someone is being shady or something, like, yeah, just definitely, they probably are if you feel like it is happening to you. And yeah, just reach out to HR. They'll fix it.
For real.
There's power in HR.
there really is. And that's one thing too, like definitely in the tips for people to take away is really connect with HR. Because in the past, I would never care to go to HR. I would be too nervous to talk to them and like, oh, I can only go to you if like I don't know, somebody touched me inappropriately. But I would just say go to them with any questions that you may have. Maybe you might have experienced a microaggression, but you're not sure. Talk to them about it, because you know, just being heard by somebody makes a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure. How do you feel about those folks that like want us to know that they're like on our side and they're on our team? Like, have you had any exchanges with anybody that's like a non-person of color that kind of to make like comfortable?
Let me think about that. I wouldn't say I've had one instance where I wouldn't say she went out of her way, but she just wanted to make sure that she knew that she was an ally. So this is one time, there was a lot going on, like in 2020, when, you know, everything about race was in uproar, right?
Yeah.
And George Floyd happened, all of that. So a friend of mine reached out, and she was the only person, but well, besides HR, that reached out to me, because they sent some corporate email about, oh, if anyone needs to talk or want to reach out, everyone reach out to your team, such and such. Nobody on my team reached out. Mm-hmm. No one said a word. But this girl, she reached out and she said, hey, I've been seeing what's going on in the world, and I just want to say I'm sorry, and I'm here for you. If you ever want to talk or need anything, just know that you're heard.
And how do you feel about that? Because I'm not sure like how I would receive that.
It was a lot at that time. It a lot of mixed emotions, because I appreciated that, you know, she reached out. She was like one of the only person besides the HR rep that actually did. So I appreciated that, but I was just hurt that she even had to. I'm just hurt at the state of our world, period, you know? So it was mixed emotions.
No, that's fair. I feel like sometimes it's hard for me to tell like what's like good intentions or what's like CYA.
Right.
CYA is cover your ass, people, those who don't know. Get your acronym game going, okay?
Yes.
I had a situation, someone at a company I worked at, they were pinging me and spelled my name wrong. And then I didn't think anything of it. Like it happens. Like I don't be putting I before E sometimes. Like, you know, it happens. I didn't take it to heart. But then I'm hearing like ping, 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 because I'm getting message after message of apology. I want you to know that I can spell your name right. Like I spell it all the time. And it was like overkill after that. It was like, this is the first time it happened, you know? So sometimes it's like hard, because I know that there's people who are trying to educate themselves and like present themselves as allies. And then there's some people who like, I guess like, I feel like try too hard to do it.
Yeah.
So that's something that like I'm struggling with, because I'd rather people try than not try at all. But it just makes it hard to seem like it, like feel like it's genuine when people go too hard. Because then exactly. It's like, are you just trying to cover yourself and make sure I don't go tell nobody? So it's
definitely in your situation, that was a bit much. Like she didn't have to do all of that.
Yeah, the first ping was cool. I was like, no problem. I know you know how to spell my name. And then, you know, it just kept coming after. And I was like, okay. So. Let's kind of transition to a different kind of conversation, because we talked about like, you know, our corporate experiences and mostly our interactions with non-people of color, but let's talk about that black on black experience in corporate, because I have mixed emotions. How has your experience been with other black people in corporate settings? More positive, negative?
Luckily, the positives do outweigh the negatives, but I have had negative situations as well. And it's really sad, in my opinion, just because, you know, you have those moments where it's like, you see, you know, another black girl's looking at you, but instead of that look of like, hey girl, like another one, it's the right, exactly.
Which is, why do you think that is? Like, why can't we all coexist? Like, why is there enough room for all of us? Like, why do we just want to be that one token black girl when we could have a whole bunch?
I wish I had the answer to that, because I know women in general, it seems like we're always in competition with each other. But then when you put race on top of it, I feel like, you know, women of color, it's just, they go harder than just the whole community, you know? And I just don't understand it, because we really are all in this together.
Seriously. So that's why it's so interesting. So previously, like, that was most of my experience. So most of the women that I worked with in corporate were usually not women of color, because there wasn't that many to go around, or because it was more of a competitive relationship or engagement with that other woman of color. It was like, if there's going to be a first black something in this company, it's going to be me. And it's like, that's great, sis. Like, I will root you on. Like, I want that for you. It's kind of like, not to go all Barbie mode right now, because I know you and I have this, but it's kind of like, I feel like with Nicki Minaj, and like, why she's so upset when like all these young girls aren't paying dues. Like, she's just trying to, like, you know, she opened doors. She's just trying to acknowledge, like, you know, she helped y'all out. You know what I mean? Like, let me help you out, sis. Like, we don't have to be. It's so hard. And I don't think that really contributed to my point at all. I just love Nicki.
I know. I that's why I was like, let me let her have this.
Yeah, I know me and you got into it once about that.
But to be clear, everybody, I am not a Nicki hater. I want to put it out there, because Maisha was out here lying on me.
Okay, and for my other Barbs out there, I will confirm that she... Nicki hater, she knows her shit.
Anyway, yes.
But I feel like I would love to get to the root of that problem, because I work at a company now where, yo, the energy is so different. I've never been more proud to be black. Look how excited I'm getting. I can't even talk. I've never been in a corporate setting where I can just unapologetically be me. Like, we playing cousin Uno. We're not reading the back of the box on how to play Uno. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
We're playing Uno. We're stacking. All right? Like, that's what they're about to do. That's what I'm saying. Vibes Cartel playing at the events, you know? Family Feud. We got, you know, it's such a good vibe. Like, they really embrace. And then it's open to anybody. It's not just black people who can come to these events, right?
Y'all hiring?
There's those, that exposure. Like, now people get to see, oh, look at Maisha and her element. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look at how she shines differently. So it's just like such a healthy experience. I just really wish that it was like that everywhere. I mean, I've been working since 2016, I've been working longer than that. And it's just like corporate settings, it just never amounted to like what I'm experiencing here. Granted, that's not my day to day, but that definitely has helped contribute to my success in being able to show up as myself. Like, I'm talking to my boss the way you guys hear me talking right now. Period, and sis. And sometimes I have to catch myself. I do talk a little too casually sometimes than professionally, but I'm not changing my voice or like, you know, the tone of it, or changing my demeanor, or trying to act like I enjoy skiing on the weekend. Nah, I was watching Real Housewives of Atlanta, and that's what I did. Like, you know, I'm not hiding that part of me. I like Ratchet TV, and that helped contribute to the person that's doing the work that you need me to do today. So, what's up?
I love it.
You know what I mean? It's just so tough. It's just so tough. But I'm so happy that we found each other.
I know. And I think that where you are now, I love that there's that community, because it sounds like you guys are way more mature when it comes to, you know, just being authentically yourself, having a space where people of color can be authentically themselves, because there's actually a community there, versus maybe other corporations like where I am, for example, there's not a large amount of us. So it becomes harder, I would think. And then for your question before on why is it like women of color have to be in such competition? I think when you are in that state where there's not much to go around, then you're like, oh, well, we don't really get opportunities like that in the first place. So I can't have her take that from me, because they're only going to promote one.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so it's kind of like,
I think that's probably why.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we kind of shared that experience when our careers overlapped. People would mix us up all the time, and we both fine, but we don't look alike.
Exactly. You know? Oh my gosh. So
we both sexy, but we don't look alike. Okay. So it didn't make any sense. Our names don't rhyme. You don't have an Isha in your name. It was just so crazy. Like some places, there's so much work to do, because then like my individual career and the work I'm doing and your individual career and the work you're doing, it kind of gets merged. And that's not our intention at all, but that's the perspective of others. So as hard as we're working, it's like, it doesn't look like two different individuals like excelling in different things. Like it's just a hard thing to be a Black woman in corporate. And I really hope that places get better. I'm really happy with where I am right now in that regard. Because like you said, I do feel like they're a little bit more mature. Granted, the industry is different. I mean, it's just very diverse, being like an international company, but
right.
I'm hoping that, you know, other companies can recognize that we feel you're including us to meet like some type of diversity quota. Like we can tell when it's genuine, like when you really want us involved, or when you want us involved because you want us to speak for our community, or you want, you know what I'm trying to say? Like it's a feeling that we know. So I really hope that companies can do better, and I hope that we all as individuals can show up as ourselves and help influence change in that way. I think that's probably the most powerful way, rather than conforming and trying to
exactly
be like the others.
Yes, PSA.
Girl, but listen, I wouldn't change a thing, because I'm happy that I met you. We held each other down when we worked together. I don't think I would have survived without you. We learned so much together. And I know you're paying it forward. I'm paying it forward. The lessons we learned together. I'm helping the other people that, you know, I interact with. So I appreciate you for holding me down then and now.
And I appreciate you for everything that you did for me. Like, just the fact that you tried to shelter me from some of the experiences that you went through. I know I still went through some, but I didn't have to go through nearly as much as you did. So you really paved that path for me. And I am just incredibly thankful to say, to call you my friend, to call you my little sister, all of it. So thank you for everything that you have done for me since day one.
I was about to say, don't make it sound like we do it.
I mean,
no, I mean, I don't want you to feel like because I started earlier than you, that like your situations and scenarios are now like, you know, lesser value. You definitely went through some stuff, like, and I actually talk about it sometimes. I'll never forget that situation when we were at that happy hour and people were inquiring about your wig.
Oh yes. Oh god.
And I didn't know how to help you, because you were responding in the way that I probably would have, explaining yourself. When looking back, like, we didn't have to like say where it was from and whose hair it is and if it's sanitary or not. Like, you have 2 degrees, my guy. Google it and figure it out. Like, this is inappropriate. So yeah, don't minimize your experience, girl, because you went through some shit too.
Thank you. I appreciate you for saying that, because I'm not going to lie. At first, I was a little nervous when it came to this topic, because I'm like, oh, damn, well, am I going to have, like, are my experiences really going to count for anything?
Of course. But
thank you, because that does make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, of course. Like, and I don't care how minuscule, like if we had a scale, it's something that we shouldn't be experiencing off rip.
Right.
So I feel like it doesn't even matter. Like if it makes it on the scale, then that's a problem. You know what I mean? But listen, I know you. Our listeners don't know us, but we are old ladies when we get to talking. So I'm gonna have to put my Scrum Master hat on. Yes. And just say one more time, thank you so much for joining and just having this conversation with me today. I definitely wanted it to be you that to talk to about this because I know like, we have similar experiences and we're both passionate about it. So I really had fun talking about it with you today.
I really enjoyed it. And thank you again for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I love the work that you're doing for the community, Maisha. Like, this really is a lot just getting the word out there, not just this topic, but all of it. You know, you
Me
really are an
too.
inspiration to us all. And I'm just honored that you picked me. So thank you.
Oh my God, now it's getting mushy again. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll catch you next week on another episode of the Adversity Hour podcast.
Bye.